independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to Lovie Smith in a couple of minutes. A lot of people wanted to weigh in on any changes the Astros should make going into the World Series. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Corey on Twitter says, biggest reason to drop a pitcher and add a bat is the game schedule. You get a rest day when traveling as opposed to the scheduled five straight games in the ALCS. That is another benefit. The ALCS was going to have seven games in 8 days. The World Series, if you play all seven games, will be played in nine games. You have a break after game two. You have a day after game five as well, which allows your bullpen to get back into, you know, form, fit, health, not as taxed as you might see in seven games in 8 days. So perhaps that is another reason to keep a bat instead of that 13th pitcher. Some other folks on the text line. Another Corey. Could you pinch hit from Maldi, then move Christian from DH to catcher? You can do that. The problem with making a DH play the field is now you burn the DH and the pitcher has to bat in that spot in the lineup. Now, if that happens in the seventh inning, you're probably going to pinch hit for those dudes anyways because no one's going more than an inning. So you do have that option. I don't see the Astros going down that avenue.
It's like old school National League baseball.
Yeah, it becomes
And as long as there's a lead one way or the other, either up or you're down, where it really could hurt you, if you're tie game, go extra innings, then you burn through a lot of pitchers or a pitcher hits.
Yeah, or the pitcher has to hit, or if you have another injury, which you have this problem anyways, whenever you only have two catchers and Vasquez comes in late in the game, you have to have a plan in case they were to go down, which probably would be Aledmys Diaz. That is an option, but I don't think it's a very likely option. Option. Key from L.A., if it's not broke, don't fix it. Let Dusty dust. Dusty's had a little bit of the magic dust here in this playoffs.
He sure has. I mean, look, for as much as we've been rightly so critical of some of the things he did during the course of the 162, pushed all the right buttons so far in the playoffs, I think it's been a collaborative effort in terms of the roster and some of the things that they've done and the way that they've at least been able to come to a happy medium to get to decisions being made. But I think that in-game, Dusty has been on his game. And you know, this is as important to him as it is to anybody else because this solidifies the last missing piece of his resume as well as what it does for the franchise and everything that we've discussed. So I'm glad Dusty's been on his A game just like the rest of the team has, and it's obviously paying off in bunches.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get David in here. David, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, how are you doing? I listen to your show every day.
Thank you.
So proud of what the Astros are doing and what you guys, how you were defending our big players yesterday. But I have this dilemma, and it's going to drive me to the wall. I just hope we don't become the next Buffalo Bills in baseball, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Think about all the teams that we've played in the World Series. The year of the Nationals, oh, they don't have Bryce Harper. How can these guys win? And then, sure enough, they go to the World Series and beat us. And then same with the Braves. The Braves were crappy all year. They come back around and after the All-Star game and just start killing everybody. And here the Phillies are, and my daughter's from Philadelphia. She lives there, and I hear it, Daddy, if we win, you're going to have to get a tattoo of a Philly blood on your shoulder or something.
How old's your daughter, David?
That's just my she is 30.
30?
She's a, yes, sir.
All right.
I was in the Army, and when I retired out of the Army, that's where she was born at, in Fort Dix, back in, 91.
So, yeah. She never spent any time here in Houston where she could have been
appropriately. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, trust me.
Okay.
She was here and her husband were here the year we won the World Series. And I said to watch the Eagles end up winning that same year because it was just a lucky thing. And that same year, the Eagles ended up winning the Super Bowl. I'm like, go figure. And I'm getting it all the time. And you know how Yankee fans are devastating if they lose? These Philly fans are worse because I've been to the old Veterans Stadium, and I tell you, if you wear anything Houston, they will dog you from the left to right. I don't care if it's football.
Yeah.
You guys are great, man. I love you guys. I just hope we can make this happen. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, David.
Thanks for the call, David.
Appreciate your service, too, David.
Philadelphia fans will throw full cans of beer at a 90-year-old woman trying to support her team at their stadium. I mean, that's how classy they are.
And when they do, it's Yingling. David, appreciate your service. I am going to make fun a little bit of David. How old can your daughter be to where she's still calling you daddy?
Oh,
can that go on forever? Can you do that as a 30-year-old? Call
with a daughter, dad, daddy. Forever.
You would let it sit forever?
Not with a son as much, but for with a daughter, absolutely.
I don't know, man.
No,
713-780 ESPN.
It's a no-brainer.
Is there an age limit of when a daughter has to stop calling her old man daddy?
Who are you, girl daddy?
Just asking. I'm just asking. I don't have a daughter.
Gatekeeping. Being a
maybe
father.
I am gatekeeping, but I think it's worthy of the question. 713-780-3776.
Dad is when they ask you for money. Hey, Dad. Can I talk to you for a second? Wait, time out. No daddy, no playful, like, loving father-daughter. Yeah. When she says dad, you know she probably wants cash.
The Bills comparison, I've heard it. I think it's more like the Braves in the early 90s. Because the Braves got the one World Series. The Astros have the one World Series. I think what maybe magnifies it, though, for the Astros is the fact that 17, a lot of people, like I hear Jake say it all the time about how that is a, you know, he didn't say asterisk. What does he say? What is the phrase that he says for it? That it is a... Maybe debate it. I can't remember the word that he uses, but maybe stained. Maybe stained is the word. Like, a lot of people look at the 17 World Series that it has a stain. Most people do, quite honestly. I don't, because I think it was going on all around Major League Baseball, like Ryan Spader does, and a lot of people have come out and talked about, like Reddick, like Gattis, like, who was the dude?
Eric, the backup catcher.
Eric Kratz. There was a dude who was with the Astros for, like, a cup of coffee in spring training. Souza.
Steven Souza
came out and talked about it too. Joey Votto has, Miguel Cabrera has. Like, people who understand what was going on know that, like, the Phillies manager yesterday said it had been going all over the place. Yes, Rob Thompson. So, like, everybody, like, to me, 17's not stained, but most people think that it does have an element of stain. So, like, that is why I magnify the Astros winning another as opposed to the Braves in the 90s winning another, or the Bills who never got the one.
I brought up the Braves whenever we talk about this, when I go on my soapbox about how it's more important to the Astros than any other franchise, and to validate for, you know, everybody and to get the national media to give them their due. We're never going to change some of the just straight idiots that are out there that are just fans. But I think we're seeing even the Jeff Passans of the world having to write columns about the greatness of the Astros and the fact that this isn't about 17 anymore for a reason. And I think you get over the top and really get to kind of shove that into the back annals of your history, if you will, if you get another title. Because like you said, whenever we talk about these runs, the Braves only had one. They could get there. They could get to the championship series. They could do 8 straight championship series, like the American League record the Astros just set of 6. But they only have one. If you get 2, you get out from being that comparison of being looped in and lumped in with the Braves. And you solidify this golden era of Houston Astros baseball. So I think it's so vitally important, and I really want to see it happen. Because, look, and kudos to Brendan, Ryan Spader was a great get. And I like the fact, and if we had more time, I would have liked to ask him, if he sees a time in which the truth really does come out and more players come out and say, I was on this team and they did it. Because I'm firmly with you in the fact that we believe it more than most, because we've had to kind of dissect it more than most, that everybody was doing it. Just that the fact that this brought cheating to the forefront by using technology from a national perspective, so that's why 17 will be stained or tainted or have an asterisk in somebody's mind.
They're the poster child for what was a Major League Baseball scandal, much in the same way that Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro were the poster children for steroid use in A-Rod. Major League Baseball. A-Rod, throw them in there too. Like, there were certain people who symbolized steroid use in Major League Baseball,
Clemens,
even though it was a major issue in Major League Baseball. The Astros are the poster child of sign stealing, even though that it was a Major League Baseball problem of sign stealing. Just the way that it is, people that refuse to believe that are refusing to believe the truth. 713-780-ESPN. Most people are saying that daughters are never too old to call their old man daddy. Pat disagrees, though. He says, I think daddy thing ends when they stop paying their bills. Then the boyfriend becomes daddy. I would venture to guess that Pat might not have a daughter.
I would venture that he shouldn't if he doesn't, because I don't like that at all.
9768, if you're a child of someone, no matter the age, they can call you mom or dad forever. a mom of two littles that still calls my mom. Also stored my phone as mom. No one said mom or dad.
Mom or dad is different.
Like, daddy from a 30-year-old woman just kind of piqued my interest. I'm wondering if that's acceptable. 713-780-ESPN. Some people are saying that they want to change the catcher position. They want Vasquez to be the starting catcher of Martin Maldonado. It's not going to happen. Maldonado is going to start three of the four starters. Vasquez is going to catch when Javier's on the mound, just the way it's going to be. And Martin Maldonado has the lowest ERA from a catcher from the catcher position of anybody in baseball.
Here's the other thing, though, Jeremy. We just keep talking about across the board on so many different fronts. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so many people are harping and preaching on that. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it with Maldonado either, because you're right. We know that Vasquez is at least going to catch Javier, but there's going to be other opportunities for him to have a role and play a part in this World Series. So you just keep doing it the way Dusty's been doing it, and you just trust that he knows what he's doing because he's pushed all the right buttons in the playoffs. If you do want to add a third catcher, then maybe he becomes a more reliable bat in the designated hitter position. But for the most part, I don't see them all of a sudden drastically starting Vasquez 3 of 4 and just starting Maldi, because you got to remember now, the two pitchers that we're talking about in that four-man rotation that really have their personal catcher in Maldonado are Lance and Verlander on top, more so than anybody else.
Walker says Yankees still call Altuve daddy. He is the Yankees daddy. Someone texted in too, why would the pitcher have to bat if the DH moves to a position? DH, designated hitter, the DH bats for a certain position on the field. In this case, and in every case in Major League Baseball, the DH is batting for the pitcher. So if the designated hitter then has to become somebody that has to come on the field and play defense, the pitcher would replace the spot in the order that is being taken out of the game. So if Vasquez is your DH, Maldonado is your catcher, Maldonado takes one to the knee, has to come out of the game, Vasquez then has to play catcher, the pitcher spot would move into the Martin Maldonado spot in the batting order. Now, what Blankers was saying earlier, if that's late in a game where you have relievers going one inning anyways, you're just going to pinch hit for that pitcher if it's a game where the spot comes up. It might not matter a whole lot. It matters more if an injury happens early in the game than it does late in the game. But that explains
really
it. I hope
well
that clears
done,
it up a little bit. 713-780, that's not something I do very often.
No, that's why I'm giving you extra prop.
Oh, well, thanks. 713-780-3776. All right, let's have that Lovie Smith conversation. Some people weighed in on that as well. 713-780-3776 if you want to. I see more people willing to move on from Lovie. Where are you now versus where were you at the start of the season? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Apollo Men's Health making a difference in people's lives on a daily basis, and all it takes is you getting in contact with them. You can go to ApolloMH.com right now and see all the services they offer for men and women. It starts with hormone therapy and B12 shots and the ways that they can get you more energy on a daily basis. I see men and women in the lobby every single week when I'm in there, and they tell me about the fact they heard me talking about it. They had to check it out. Now they couldn't be happier with the results they're getting. They have more energy. They get more things done and accomplished, and they feel better than they felt in years thanks to Doc O and his staff at Apollo Men's Health. Basically, they have something for just about everybody. You're looking to get on a workout program, start with a full body composition analysis, and then take another analysis every so often so you can chart your results and see the progress you're making. Sometimes we all know you don't feel like you're making progress, but when you can see that your body fat is down, your muscle mass is up, and those critical numbers are where you want them to be and they're going in the right direction, it gives you more motivation to get that workout done and to stay on the program that they set for you. You want to recover quicker after a workout? HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies and fat burners? They got those too. Two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston, with more coming down the way. But the main thing you need to do is make your first appointment, because when you do, you'll find out that there most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. For listening to us and mentioning my name, you can get that B12 shot or that body composition analysis free on your first visit. But let the process go from there. Tell them what you're trying to accomplish. Tell them where you're trying to go. They'll put you on a plan that works. They'll get your results. Good people doing great things on a daily basis. Please go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lovie Smith, head coach of your Houston Texans. I see more and more people willing to move on from Lovie than we saw at the start of the year. And this would be tough because, look, back-to-back one-and-done coaches. If you're Caserio, can you spin it off on Easterby? I would try. Caserio doesn't strike me as the kind of guy to do that. He wears them. You know, he wears the decisions, which you can respect that. The Texans defense, too, not performing very well. They didn't perform very well last year either. I see more people willing to move on from Lovie. Where do you stand now, where we are in the Texan season, based on where you stood at the beginning of the season, Blankers?
There's no reason to move on from him right now. There's nothing that you're not trying to. In my mind, I've steadfast on my opinion the entire year, which was this was another lost year in terms of wins and losses, so that you can keep this thing on the right path for the rebuild with the Embrace the Suck campaign. That Lovie Smith was the perfect guy to just kind of bring some stability and leadership to a position that didn't have it a year ago, to kind of make sure that he keeps the ship floating in the right direction and keeping it afloat, quite honestly, and then make the judgment based on what you do in the off season. You can have this discussion if you get your franchise quarterback and you're not sold that he's the guy that's going to put the people around that quarterback, i.e. what happened in Jacksonville the first year with Trevor Lawrence, when they made the now unpopular decision to go with a guy that didn't know what the hell he was doing, and it kind of set Trevor Lawrence back for a year. So you look at it and say, I can have this discussion about Lovie Smith, though I know it's a really bad look on Caserio if 2 years in a row you keep a head coach for a year. But for now, Lovie's fine with me. Going into next year, Lovie would be fine with me, but I think that where Cal would have to finally get involved, or somebody, whoever else has a say-so, or maybe it is Caserio, says, hey, look, we're going to make a change at your coordinators. Your son...
He's a coordinator.
Well, okay, but again, you're going to hire a defensive coordinator. Your son's the linebacker's coach. The front seven can't stop the run to save their lives.
Yeah.
So, if you keep them for a second year, then I think someone's got to come in and say, if you want to stick around, you got to make these kind of concessions with us. But I'm not looking at Lovie till the offseason at the very earliest.
It's way more personnel than it is scheme and coaching. Like, Lovie's not incompetent. The reason that the front seven isn't stopping the run isn't because of Lovie Smith's son. It's because you have Christian Kirksey playing a lot of snaps. It's because you have Camu Grugier-Hill, who asked for his release, playing a lot of snaps. It's because you just brought in a rookie, Christian Harris, playing his first ever game, hoping he would be the savior to stop the running game against opponents. Like, it's more personnel than scheme. Like, I'm not nowhere near this whole fire Lovie Smith. I don't think that you should, but I do think that the seat is warmer than it was at the start of the year. Like, at the start of the year, you're at a zero. A scale of 0 to 10, Lovie Smith being a one-and-done head coach, the answer there is zero. I think, though, within the fan base, and I think that even if we're being honest, I think that the seat has warmed up a little bit. And 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Look, at start of the season, if I'm at a zero, I would say I'm at a 3 or a 4 right now with the seat warming up for Lovie. Like, I could see an end of Lovie Smith, not so much this year, but maybe after the end of next season. At the start of this season, I was thinking at least minimum 3 years for Lovie Smith.
I think they were hoping to get 2 and then go from there. If he's doing well, or he's actually kind of falling in line with what Caserio envisioned at this point in the rebuild, then you could keep him for another year. But I thought that you had to give him 2 based on the debacle that happened with Culley. But if you're not going to do that, then the time to do it is when you do have the guy that you're going to anoint your franchise quarterback of the future and get the right guys around him. Because right now it doesn't look like Pep Hamilton is the right guy to construct an offense around a new modern-day franchise-type quarterback. So if Lovie is attached to Pep or this is the way that the coaching staff was constructed and there's loyalty somewhere involved in that as well, then if Lovie pushes back, then you look at Lovie. Otherwise, like I said, make concessions and say, Lovie, you can stick around for another year or two because you know how to be a head coach in this league. But in terms of defense and offense and the things that need to be done now in today's game, let's get some other coordinators in there that can do things a different way.
AR Platinum says, I think whoever we bring will be sufficient. Decades of success due to embracing the suck from 10 to 14. I think that was about the Astros GM spot, but you can kind of relate it to the Houston Texans, where they are in this rebuild. Because the Texans are very much in a rebuild right now. And if you go back, like, early days of the Houston Astros under Jeff Luno, he hired Bo Porter. Like, Bo Porter was the David Culley. You know what I mean?
He was.
It really didn't matter who your manager was at that time. It doesn't really matter who your head coach is now. But there becomes a point in time whenever you think you're good enough to win, when you go find that head coach that you want to hitch your wagon to. Jeff Luno did it with A.J. Hinch, got into the playoffs in 15, and then we know the rest of the story. I don't think Lovie Smith is the hitch the wagon to head coach. I think there's going to be one more for Nick Caserio whenever he thinks the roster is good enough to be playoff worthy that he's going to hitch the wagon to, and that's going to be the coach that he either, you know, has success with, he makes it as the Texans general manager, or he gets fired with that head coach, the third one.
Yeah, I think that that's how every general manager kind of, and we talked about this when Caserio took over. He has a plan, and I think it goes in phases. And phase one was a guy that was going to take it in the shorts, be a good soldier, you know, get his first opportunity as well, be happy to be there, not rock the boat, and get you kind of 1 foot going in the right direction. Yeah. The next guy, and maybe a lot sooner, obviously, than what you had planned, but you got a veteran guy, fell in your lap in a lot of ways, that more than a lot of ways.
Think about how whenever they hired him, though, like Nick Caserio said, we see a lot of things in Lovie Smith that we saw in David Culley. Like,
and that's not a ringing endorsement.
But I can see it. Like, I understand what Caserio is talking about there. Now, the reason that you move from Culley to Lovie Smith is because there's a lot of things David Culley was doing where he was incompetent. Lovie Smith ain't incompetent.
He didn't understand.
Lovie Smith's solid.
Yeah, he didn't understand. Well, there's a word for it, but just the formalities of being a head coach, not even sure. Offensively or defensively, just kind of structurally and housekeeping-wise.
But if you just listen to them talk, like, I mean, David Culley, again, wasn't always competent, whereas Lovie Smith is. Lovie Smith handles himself very well, solid football dude. But listen to the message. If you listen to the message for the entire 2021 season from David Culley, it was positivity. We're taking a step in the right direction. We're trying really hard. We're going to play well. Always positive, positive, positive. We're not looking back. We're looking ahead. Listen to Lovie Smith every time he talks to me. It's the same thing. We're focusing on the positives. We're looking at glass half full. We've been right there in games, and then we're trying to win them at the end. The message has been the same. So when Nick Caserio says we see a lot of the things in Lovie Smith that we actually saw in David Culley, he's just doing them better. He's just positive, but he's a better football coach. He handles himself better in the pressers. But the whole like process and what Nick Caserio wanted as a head coach during the early stages of this rebuild was basically some positive reinforcement from that position.
He needed a guy that would keep the ship afloat. He needed a guy that would keep him going in the right, you know, get him going and then keep him going in the right direction. And he needed a guy that wasn't going to be what a lot of head coaches are, which is their own independent thinker that's going to come into a press room and say, I don't care what the general manager wants. I don't care what the team is thinking. As a head coach, this is what we're going to do, and this is what I think is best for this team. Mm-hmm. You don't need that right now because you have so many young, impressionable kids in that locker room, guys you drafted and you're hoping to develop into longtime fixtures with this franchise. Lovie's been the perfect guy in a lot of ways because of the fact that he has kept the ship afloat, that he has been able to connect himself with the young players. Like you said, he's been able to stay positive. And even with a guy like Davis Mills, no matter how bad he plays, he finds a way to say, you know what, we see progress. We're rolling with our guy. And so he's doing the things that Nick needs him to do for right now. At a certain point, we all reach a different kind of a crossroads where maybe that changes. I don't think anything is needed to be changed until you have a franchise-type quarterback.
Which you could be getting one this offseason.
That's what I'm saying, and that's where you could evaluate it again.
But if you wait that long, you're not getting a coach. Like it has to come early in the offseason.
I don't know, Jeremy.
You're doing it post-draft?
If you get the right quarterback, a lot of coaches are going to be knocking on your door
post-draft?
Instead of you knocking on the... Well, yeah.
I don't know about that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Justin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I was thinking, you know, I just don't understand how this is much different. Like, earlier in the year, we were talking about Dusty and how, you know, if you have an opportunity to upgrade at any point, whether it's front office, coach, players, you do it. And I buy into that methodology 100%. What's different here? You know, like, why go with a stopgap-type coach for a longer duration when you could potentially upgrade at the coaching spot? I just don't see it. Like, he's not an offensive-minded coach. I'm not saying he's a terrible coach necessarily either, but I just don't want to waste time when our intentions right now are definitely to change the quarterback position. I want somebody who's going to be there for the duration of that quarterback as well. That's my opinion. I wanted to hear what y'all thought and why that's different.
Let's hit that on the other side. 713-780-ESPN. What is that level of warmth to Lovie Smith's seat? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Justin asked us the question, like, why not upgrade the position, the head coach position? Because, look, I view head coaching positions, GM positions, just like I view positions on the field. Left guard, you want to get better there, you improve. You get a better left guard. Quarterback, right now we talk a lot about Davis Mills. Everybody wants to improve for Davis Mills. How do you do that? You probably draft the franchise quarterback in the draft. I look at the head coaching position as the same thing. If you feel like you can get better there, you do it. Justin said, why not just do it now? Why have to worry about firing two head coaches on one, like after a single season? I think part of it here, Blankers, is like you want the dude to be a good soldier. And I think Caserio, like you say one thing in the media, like we're going to try real hard. We want to win games. Like I get that. You have to say that. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, we're going to go 3-14 for the next 3 years so we can acquire number one pick after number one pick after number one pick. But Caserio will also be like, look at the process, not so much the results. Nick Caserio is honest with where this roster is. You can see it. I can see it. Brendan can see it. He knows bad football. The Hive can see it. If you look at the Houston Texans roster, it is towards the bottom of the NFL. Nick Caserio is not an idiot. He's not looking at his roster as much of a homer as he might be about the players that he acquires and thinks it can compete in the NFL. So when you have that mindset, when you're realistic with where you are and who you are, you kind of need a coach to be a good soldier and take some losses along the way. Let's just assume Nick Caserio has candidate A, that he wants to someday be the head coach of this football team and thinks the most of that guy. Why would you put 2-4-13 seasons on that guy and create all this pressure and increase the seat of that guy being hot? Or get a guy, a veteran, who's a solid dude, who's positive, who's going to like help you lead the rebuild. Let him earn those losses instead of like your bell cow head coach to earn those losses.
Yeah, no, those are good points. But here's the other thing. They're paying two coaches right now. The fact that they're paying two coaches, they're not looking to get out from another contract. I mean, fire another guy and then have to pay two guys and go hire a third guy.
I hear what you're saying, but Cal's never been cheap. Like, Cal's always been willing to spend.
But no owner wants to spend. It's one thing to say I messed up once, but to say I messed up twice. And we even said at the time, if Caserio screws this one up and Lovey only makes it a year again, that's a huge indelible mark on Casario's resume.
Do you really believe that, though? Because I don't think anybody looked at Lovey as the Nick Caserio hire that he's hitching his wagon to Texans success.
It was a positive victim of circumstance for Lovey Smith, but it was not someone that would have gotten the job had they not have had all the other things going on across the league. But at the same time, this would be his second misstep. And I think it'd be different if the roster was better. If you had two or three of your draft classes coming together, if you had at least one guy, if not more, being considered to be your franchise quarterback, and you had other guys that were going to be torchbearers for key positions on the roster on both sides of the football.
I don't know if you can call it a misstep, though. Like, the way that you... He was never part of the coaching candidate list.
No, I'm not...
You were forced
but it's
to
on
hire him.
It doesn't matter. It's still on
is
him.
Is it? If somebody's telling you have to hire Lovey Smith, how is that on you?
Well, someone was also telling you to hire Josh McCown, and that would have been a complete misstep, too. But that,
we don't
that
know
means,
that.
But
we,
that
we,
means...
You predict that it would have been, but you don't know that for a fact.
But they made him a finalist. The fact that they made all that public meant that they were in serious consideration of whether they picked him or not.
And what if he went 10-7 this year? Next year, they go 11-6.
You know as well as I do that it wouldn't have gone 10-7 with Josh McCown.
Because of the roster, not because Josh McCown.
Right, but it also would have been the fact that you hired a coach with no previous experience other than being a backup quarterback in the league.
It works all the time in the NBA. It works
in
Major League Baseball.
This isn't the NBA
a reason. Why can't it work in the NFL, though?
Because it's a totally different type job set. And from the locker room to the practice field.
You do less. You do less X's and O's.
I disagree with that. And most, especially this because there's a lot of head coaches that call plays. And are involved in those offensive and defensive meetings. Lovey's the defensive guy. Plenty of guys are offensive guys. I think that and there's not a ton of success by guys. Steve Kerr is the guy that took a job that ended up that was basically tailor-made for him. He could walk in and most people with a remote control could have done enough to make the Warriors the right team to win some games. Whereas you look at other guys like Derek Fisher and Jason Kidd's first go around, it didn't go so well. So it's a different sport, but I look at it and say, hey, from a Caserio perspective, if you had that roster different and you had some key guys that had to be developed and built around, you might go a different direction with a head coach. I don't think any owner wants to pay two guys to go on vacation. And I think one is enough where they'll stomach it. Two would be a little bit excessive for most ownership to take. However, because he's got a six-year deal, and because now with Easterby out of the picture, whatever you believed previously, he is in total control, that you have to let it play out, but you have to have real honest conversations. You're not going to sit there and play another round of revolving coach here, and we're not going to keep throwing away money.
I just never – I don't think it's fair to put on Cal, because I understand that owners aren't going to want to spend money whenever they don't have to spend money. You're just throwing away money. But I don't think it's fair to Cal to say that he's not willing to spend, because Cal at every single turn has been willing to spend. There's a lot of negatives for Cal McNair as an owner, but spending money's not one of them.
I'm saying no owner's going to want to pay two coaches,
but that's a general, that's a blanket statement about the general owner around all of sports.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's not true about Cal. As much as Cal is a guy that stays out of the daily fray, I don't. No owner should sit back and say, it's okay, I've given you enough power, you do whatever you want with it. If you want to go hire a third head coach in 3 years, you go ahead and it's cool. It would never be cool with any owner that has any kind of consideration for financials.
It'd be bad if Cal McNair bought out Lovie Smith and then went to hire Bill Belichick? There's a lot of times it's the best decision to make.
Right, but it's still bad. It's a bad look. That it's taken you two huge swings and misses that have had big dents financially, and then all of a sudden a guy either falls into your lap or becomes available, and you go make that move too, and then you can say it's heroic. It's not heroic. It's just that the missteps are what everybody's going to look at. There's no look. I worked for an owner that was as frugal as any owner that has ever been in professional sports, and most guys would not keep their job if you fired a second coach.
I don't disagree with that. I think what you're saying from a general owner perspective is true. I think most owners, the majority of them, aren't going to want to pay three coaches. I think that's true across all of the three major sports. I just don't look at Cal McNair as someone who's ever been willing to, or has ever not been willing to spend money. Like, he's done it.
He's done it
with Bill O'Brien. He did it with David Culley. I don't think that firing Lovie Smith would have anything to do with the financial reasons.
I think that there's a big difference between, I'm not calling him cheap or frugal. I'm saying that there's no owner that's going to look positively on a situation where for the second straight year, you have to admit you got the wrong guy and it's my job to pay him. And be happy about it. I just don't think an owner that's going to be open to that.
Also, the way that he was hired, too, I think is like an interesting variable that is unique to the way the Texans found their second head coach.
Joel, I want to ask this, and this is an honest question. Do you think Cal believed when Lovie was hired that he would be here for the length of his contract?
Probably not. If he has any... wherewithal about the league? So, probably not. But I believe that he thought Lovie would be here for 2 to 3 years.
That's fair. My thing is, if the expectation from ownership was from the beginning that you're probably not going to see this contract through the end, I don't know that you look at it as poorly if you go, okay, well, we thought it was 2 or 3. Maybe it's only
follow-up
one.
Question, Brendan. If Lovie Smith was hired first and there was never a David Culley, he would be a ton more open to whatever, whenever. But because as far as we know, under the responsibility and with free reign to hire whoever you wanted, Nick Caserio hired David Culley, which was just a complete abomination, and then did this. That's where it changes the mindset of an owner.
I think the negative PR, though, would be more about I think the upset level would be more that you're firing two head coaches back-to-back after one season. I don't think that Cal would be as upset. I think he'd be more upset about that, firing two head coaches after 1 year, than he would about the financial implications of doing so.
I just think they both weigh heavy on an owner. No owner wants to give away free money. And you're right. It would also look really, really bad on the guy in charge if he's gone through two coaches in 2 years and both those guys have multiple-year contracts.
I also think, though, from like a Caserio perspective, it's hard to give Caserio the benefit of the doubt with David Culley because he was so incompetent, but you could see what Nick Caserio was trying to do. He knew that this was not going to be a winning team for the first at least couple of years that he's the GM here. Look at the roster. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So he wanted this positive, go-get-em, rah-rah head coach that just, like you said, keeps the ship afloat, right? It's the same thing with Lovie Smith. The difference between Lovie and Culley was that Lovie Smith was not on the candidate list whenever they were hiring their second head coach for Nick Caserio in as many years. years, the Brian Flores lawsuit played a factor here. And I firmly believe that there were outside influences with Nick Caserio that made Lovie Smith the guy after some sort of Sunday supper. Look, I think Lovie Smith is a solid NFL head coach, so it wasn't like this bad alternative. But I don't think you can look at Nick Caserio and put more like pressure or put on his resume that he hired Lovie and it was a failure whenever there was outside influences that led to that hire.
I think it's because of the bigger picture. I think that if I'm a franchise that's considering hiring Nick Caserio after I seen or heard or I'm aware of what went down, because the scapegoat built in is going to be Jack Easterby. The same way Jack Easterby was thought to be the guy that brought McCown to the table.
Yeah.
When they had to pivot on the fly, it seemed like Jack was involved, and at least from a Caserio perspective, you could say Jack was in the middle of all this, and this was our quickest, best answer to react quickly to the circumstances of Flores' situation and everything else.
I don't think Caserio is going to get like bad marks on what happens with Lovie, at least not as much of the bad marks he got on Cully.
Right, but I agree with that.
Like, even if Lovey's only a one-and-done head coach.
Because his resume says you got a guy that has a history of being a head coach that has been there and done it before, yeah. Which means something.
And it wasn't on his list. Like, there was no circumstances that led to Cully.
He can't outlive the Cully hire, because it's one thing to say, hey, I'm giving this guy his first opportunity after being in the league for 16 years. But if you went through the interview process and you truly were thorough in your evaluation, how the hell did you think this was a guy that was capable of just getting through an NFL season?
Best case in playing devil's advocate is you're looking for a positive rah-rah guy knowing that you're not going to win. And he is your Bo Porter for 1, 2, 3 seasons until you think you can fill a competitive roster and then go out and get the head coach that you really want to be responsible for the direction of the organization.
But you can do that and still have a concept and be able to comprehend what you have to be as a head coach on a day-to-day basis.
It should have been Lovie day one.
No doubt. And if it was Lovie day one, then this would be a different story.
Absolutely, it would. And you could probably fire Lovie after this year because he would have been his second season. 713-780-ESPN. Next segment, at some point, we're going to give away a couple of tickets to watch the Houston Cougars take on USF homecoming Saturday morning. So you want to stick around for that. Also, Janice Burke, the CEO of the Houston Sports Authority. You got World Cup coming up. You got Final Four coming up. We're going to talk to her about what a great time it is to be a Houstonian with the sports going on in this city. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's give away a couple of tickets. Houston Cougars in action on Saturday as they take on the Bulls of USF. It is homecoming, 11 a.m. kick. So let's give away a couple of tickets right now. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. Caller 3, 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game on Saturday, October 29th. Can't win a pair. It's okay. We got you covered. Individual tickets starting at just $15. UHCougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS. Got to take advantage of that. Or if you have a family, how about this one? Family 4-packs includes 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 chips, 4 sodas, all for under $100. You get all that for $96. Head over to UHCougars.com/promo. Enter the promo code USF4-pack or just call them, 713-GO-COUGS. Be like, hey, this Branham guy said that I could get a 4-pack for $96. They'll take care of you. They'll get you hooked up. So make sure you do that. UHCougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS.
Like, when you gave me tickets to a Cougars game and they didn't scan, I mentioned your name. Oh, you know Jeremy?
That's weird.
Oh, wait. It was like the golden ticket. I mean, you dropped Jeremy Branham's name around that campus and around that any kind of athletic event. Look the hell out. Yeah. You are getting the Willy Wonka golden ticket treatment.
That's probably not true.
I don't know.
Probably not true. Big C says, all I'll say is no quality head coach would want to work for an organization like the Texans if they fired another head coach like that. You go one and done, one and done. What I would say is David Culley got paid handsomely to walk away after a year. Lovie Smith would also get paid handsomely for a year. And if you go back to the coaching list, like the original six, you know, we make fun of Josh McCown, we make fun of Hines Ward. There were some quality coaches on that list. Kevin O'Connell was on that list. He's doing some really good things with the Minnesota Vikings. In fact, that was my number one choice. Jonathan Gannon was the number two guy on my list and on Nick Caserio's list too. And look what's going on with the Philadelphia defense. And Jonathan Gannon is the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Like, I understand Big C's point that it's probably if you're a hotshot head coaching candidate and you're Sean Payton and you have offers from three or four different organizations, the Texans are probably towards the bottom of that list. But that's not to say the Houston Texans couldn't find a quality head coach. Not everybody's going to say no. They might get the third, fourth, fifth best candidate during that coaching carousel, but that could still be a very good head coach.
I mean, look, Sean Payton's a different example because, look, if Sean Payton is given the opportunity to go to Los Angeles to quarterback Justin Herbert and a ready-to-win-now setup, that's a lot more enticing to a veteran coach that doesn't want to endure being part of the latter half of a rebuild to get them where they need to go, as opposed to taking on a younger roster that's promises of getting better with lots of draft capital, still looking for the kind of quarterback that maybe he would have some input on drafting. But nonetheless, he knows the undertaking for a couple of years that he'd have to go through, as opposed to, you know, just plug and play. I'm going to a place where I've got all the weapons I need.
And to be, like, very, very clear, I know we've talked about 30 minutes about, like, firing Lovie Smith. Neither one of us want to fire Lovie Smith. Like,
I don't.
That to me is, like, earliest scenario after 2023. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, you guys have been doing this a lot longer than me. I'm just 50 years old. All three, Dusty, Lovey, and Bo Porter, they were all qualified because Dusty won a World Series.
No. Dusty's not won a World Series. He hasn't won a World Series.
But I mean, not as a player. As a player.
I got you.
I mean, he's been around the game a long time. So no. I know we want discredited. But all of them are qualified. But my question is, Dusty was hired in the midst of the trash can scandal. Lovey and the what do you call that? The
Flores
rule deal.
Yeah.
What, I mean, just could you guys tell me what's the common denominator? Why is it that we're in just for a momentary purpose? And all three of those I know. And then Silas, the Rocket, the Silas. They're even talking about him after 3 years gone. So I'm just curious as to your expertise. You guys have been around it a long time. Why is it that we're being hired for temporary moments or when there's missed of scandals or things like that? Just your expertise.
Yeah. Gary, I know what you're alluding to. You're alluding to the fact that they are black men. Uh-huh. Now, Dusty Baker is a manager of the Houston Astros. Was he supposed to be temporary to weather the storm after a scandal? Yeah, probably. It's why I think it was just a 2-year deal. Last year they went to the World Series. They got a 1-year deal. I probably think it's going to be a 1-year deal.
When he was hired,
too.
He said, I had planned on riding off into the sunset. I know what they're looking for, and I know that paycheck is going to be real nice for me.
But Dusty Baker has exceeded the length of time that most people thought he was going to be here, including Dusty Baker himself. Why? Because Dusty Baker has had a tremendous amount of success as the Houston Astros manager, and to be quite honest, for a lot of Dusty haters, has flipped a lot of Dusty haters to where people don't mind if Dusty Baker's back for another year, and I'm one of those. In terms of Lovie Smith, Lovie Smith can do the same thing as Dusty Baker. If Lovie Smith performed and this team was, look, we think that whatever happens this year, he's going to be back next year. So even if he goes 3-14 this year, I guess 3-13-1, let's be accurate, he's going to be the head coach next season. If he has the Texans in playoff contention next year, Lovie Smith is going to earn more and more years as long as Lovie Smith wants to be here. As far as Steven Silas is concerned, Steven Silas has a runway to try to flip the script in this organization. A lot of people thought he should have been fired last year because they had a lousy defense. You don't see tons of player development.
Did you watch last night?
I did. I watched a good chunk of it. But I'm happy that Steven Silas got one more year because I think he was deserving of one more year. I want to see what Jalen Green looks like in year two. I want to see if he can improve the defense. But all of these guys are going to either be brought back or fired based on performance.
Let's also be clear. Steven Silas was hired. And from his own mind, he was hired to coach a different set of players. He was hired to coach a veteran set of players that involved James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and others. And then, almost midstream in the process, when they were whittling down their candidates, the bottom fell out, and everybody wanted out, and everything completely changed. And then it was like, okay, well, he still obviously wanted his first chance to get a head coaching job, and who wouldn't? And they still needed a guy that they thought was good working with young players. And, oh, by the way, he'd worked with Luka Doncic, so they'll give it a go. But I've watched this team play. Steven Silas hasn't, like, given a bill of goods that was going to be set up to fail, but Steven Silas has to carry his end of the bargain, too. Unlike the other two that Jeremy broke down, with Steven Silas, they have to play some defense. Yep. They have to have some kind of offensive structure other than isolation.
I don't think it's coming.
And you have to see the development of some of these young players the same way we're talking about with a franchise quarterback as it relates to Lovey's long-term future. If you do get some of these players that are earmarked to be franchise-type players and you don't see them developing and progressing and getting better and you're wondering what they're doing on offense, that's when it's going to come back on him.
Looking at, yeah, I mean, it comes down to performance. So Dusty Baker has performed well. He's going to be asked back as the Astros manager. And it will be, what, his fourth year, 2021, 22, 23? It'll be his fourth year. A lot of people thought he might be one and done. And then he was only there until A.J. Hinch was coming
back. There was
back.
No expectations on the win-loss platform because it was so focused on what they were going to do to endure what they were about to receive in terms of the pushback. The fact that the wins just kept coming and the achievements kept on growing was the fact that that warranted Dusty being around. That warranted more acceptance. Yeah, he absolutely earned it, and he's earned it even more so because now he's got the glowing endorsement of all of his players that say, we want him back, and we love this guy, and why would you change that for a team that's gotten to its six straight ALCSs and now four World Series in 6 years?
And I think, look, if you still pull for the Texans, because I understand some people hate the Texans right now, but there's still a good chunk of people that listen to us that like the Texans. I think they're pulling for Lovie Smith to have success as the Texans head coach. If you're a Rocket fan, everybody was bullish about the Rockets this season, winning games. They want Steven Silas to be the head coach that can bring this team back to prominence. Last night, not a good example of that, though, Blinkers. You alluded to it. They lose in Utah. They lose in Utah by 8 points, a game in which Jabari Smith did not have his best game. Almost finished with a double-double, though. Almost got those 10 rebounds. Kevin Porter Jr. didn't have the three ball falling, continues to turn the basketball over a lot. I know some people are like, oh, give Kevin Porter Jr. some patience. He's just learning the position. There's only played 5 games. Well, it's been a year and 5 games, and he's still turning the basketball over a ton. And then Jalen Green didn't have a great shooting game.
6 for 22 overall. Jalen Green.
6 for 20, but
close
who's
enough.
Counting?
I mean, that's still not real good.
It's not good. And 2 for 9 from three.
Right.
And Porter was 0 for 4
just,
from three.
You know, my takeaways were both from it more as it relates to team basketball. There has to be an offensive flow. There has to be some sort of structure, movement, ball movement, body movement, ball sharing, you know, doing the kinds of things that the way the game is supposed to be played. This ISO, 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 ISO every time down, including Eric Gordon ISOing to pull up for jump shots. That's not coached. That's not something where they're learning and they're adapting it on the fly and they're basically carrying out a game plan. That's guys just freewheeling like they were playing pickup down at the local gym. Defensively, the same way. There's got to be rotations. There's got to be switches. There's got to be help the helper. These are the things you're not seeing with this team. It's one thing to say it's not happening with a veteran team that should know better and know the fundamentals of doing these things. Mm-hmm. With a team as young as the Rockets, this has to be taught in a lot of ways because they've never played it before based on how they've gotten to where they've gotten to and as quick as they got there. It's not happening right now. Yeah. And it's one thing to say you have one more season of doing this because you want to get that, which is Victor Wembanyama. But after that, I mean, I think Silas is definitely someone that you have to be looked at as a guy that isn't long-term here.
You have to see improvement this year. You have to see defensive improvement. I don't think much is going to change with the offense. I think that's just his philosophy, and he believes in the ISO. And Knicks, by the way, like I'm not a huge Josh Christopher guy. I'd rather those minutes that Knicks is getting 12, by the way,
Deshaun,
to
Knicks
go to Christopher.
Terrible.
4 turnovers in that game yesterday. It was 0 for 3. Yeah,
I don't know what they see in him and they keep him around. It's one thing that you just keep him around at the back end of the roster. The fact that Christopher, as much as he kind of had a step back this summer by being a ball hog and shooting too much in the summer league, Josh Christopher could play last year. He could contribute. He could get you points. He could do things. He worked at his craft when he needed to. Mm-hmm. You spent a first-round pick on him. You didn't spend one on Knicks. Develop the kid. Yeah. Work with him.
Yeah, maybe he has some flaws in his game, some things that you would want to switch up. Maybe don't be so shoot first, maybe a little bit more pass first, but that's where coaching comes into play. That's where developing comes into play. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, every Thursday at 2. It's all the worst takes of the week. Bad Take Boulevard, if you have any, send them in. Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.